Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a wonderful start to your day. Maybe in some cases, a wonderful start to your weekend. Joe, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing just fine. Ready for a big weekend. Ready for a nice trip to Knoxville tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
See the Vols pull off the shocker, in which case we'll apparently owe people lunch.
Apparently so.
Which I'm cool with. We didn't agree to that. That's fine.
We didn't, but you know what? I'll agree to it now.
Yeah.
On the air.
Officially.
It's fine with me.
Yep.
Me Nick too. Keyser, how are we doing? What's going on?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. That was a doozy last night for watching Joe Burrow play. That was not a good performance by them.
Well, didn't get to watch Burrow play all that much.
Yeah.
But
you're ripping Burrow?
I can hear Burrow. He was glass, man.
Poor guy couldn't throw the ball.
Poor start to his season.
Yeah, they're in trouble. They're 5-5 now, and Burrow's hurt again. And I don't know how serious it is, but he tried to go throw a football on the sideline with the wrist, and he got about halfway through his throwing motion and dropped the ball and winced over in pain. That would suggest to me that it's not very good. So, I mean, if he's out for any length of time, even if it's a week, they're in serious trouble. Because when you're 5-5, it is amazing. Like, think about heading into the season and telling somebody 10 weeks in or 10 games in, hey, by the way, Buffalo and Cincinnati are both going to be 5-5 after 10 games. But that's a crushing loss for the Bengals last night to the Ravens. In more than just the game, if Burrow's hurt, I mean, they're done at
so,
that point.
Yeah, and I have not seen – so there's nothing really
nothing
much
that
came
seen.
Out of it
no.
in the medical. But another thing is the Bengals appear to have not put him on the injury report when they should have put him on the injury report.
It looks that way.
You got the video of him coming off the bus with like the wrist thing on.
Right.
Yeah. Not good, Bengals.
That is not going to go over well if there's an investigation and that's the case.
Yeah.
With all the
that's a big no-no.
Gambling and the, you know, sports books and all these things now, probably more so than ever before, the injury report going to be taken pretty seriously out there. So if it comes out that they did not put him on the injury report when he should have been, I can't imagine that's going to go very well for the Cincinnati Bengals, if that's the case.
No. And I'm trying to remember the last time that happened, because it's happened here and there.
Yeah.
What the punishment was. But the punishment for them, it looks like it might be might be a year with no postseason. It looked like they were toast early. Then I thought, they're going to be what people thought they were going to be, and now not. And this is a lot of stuff for Joe Burrow here in his young career, and it's very good young career.
Yeah, I mean, it's everybody with a pair of eyeballs can see when he's on the field and when he's right. He is among the best quarterbacks in the league. Is he number two? Is he number three? Wherever you want to put him, he's within the top three or four quarterbacks of the league when he is healthy and when he's right. So far in his career, when he's had the torn ACL, he had the calf injury to begin this year, and now he's got a wrist injury to go along with it. I mean, he's been banged up throughout his career to this point. And, you know, he just signed the gigantic contract. I don't know that you're super worried about it if you're Cincinnati because – you know, he has proven to you when he's healthy and when he's available that he is good enough to win you a championship. And he's good enough to get you there. And he's played really well in some big moments. So there's not really anything on the field when he's right that you're worried about if you're Cincinnati. But he does have a lot of injuries that are starting to pile up in a very short amount of time. And I don't know that any of them are super serious. But at some point, that's a whole lot of wear and tear on your body. At the quarterback position.
Yeah, well, and the guy on the other side last night, has had some too, and they, you know, he plays differently now. This kind of ties to the Anthony Richardson discussion too. Like, you want to use what your quarterback does well, but you also, as much as this league protects quarterbacks, and man, does it go to great lengths to protect quarterbacks.
Yep.
That's still one of the smallest and least powerful guys on the field, and everyone, the biggest, strongest guys on the other side, all they want to do is hit that guy. And so, you know, it ties to all of it. To me, I guess maybe I'm just like sick of it, because I haven't thought about it the way it's been talked about around here nearly as much as we are talking about it, like with Will Levis. But this, you know, like ruining a quarterback. I mean, ruining a quarterback to me is like if you get someone who, like, they can't stay healthy, and all of a sudden that happens. That absolutely happens, where physically you can't do it anymore.
Right.
You know, it's just I feel like the idea of ruining a quarterback is a little bit oversold, maybe just because the situation that the rookie quarterback here is in.
Yeah, like I thought about it, you know, when I think about it, I think, like, psychologically, are you ruining the quarterback? So you have happy feet in the pocket, all those things. Like, Burrow, if anybody had any reason coming into the league to be ruined, quote-unquote, it would probably be him, from the standpoint of his first year, they got him killed back there, and he tore his ACL. His second year, he was getting hit all the time. His offensive line was terrible. I mean, the Titans had 9 sacks in a playoff game against him, and he got that team to a Super Bowl, and they've done a decent job of addressing things since then. But clearly, his on-the-field performance has not been affected by any of that. And that goes back to what we've talked about. Like, if you got the right guy and he's got the right stuff at the quarterback position, like, at some point you battle your way through all that, for the most part, and it doesn't affect you psychologically that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look around this league, and it's varying degrees for sure. I mean, Dak Prescott's been battered and banged up. Even he's had some great offensive lines. He's had all kinds of injuries. I mean, look at Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
Kirk Cousins is, say whatever you want about him, but the guy's incredibly tough. Was it Charles who brought that up on our show?
Yeah.
Yeah, how the documentary, and you know, I didn't know how hurt he was last year. I don't think anybody did. And he's out there still just standing in the pocket. But I don't think there are that many examples. There are plenty of examples of quarterbacks or any position who have so many injuries that quote unquote ruins them. They diminish as players. I don't think there are that many examples of quarterbacks who are so gun shy that they become a totally different player because of the hits. I don't even know what David Carr. We have talked about Mariota. And so I do, but remember, he also had consistent, you know, more injuries. I mean, he had the nerve thing in 2018, which preceded his final season. I mean, half of that year, he's talking about how he can't totally feel his arm.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I remember asking him, like, I don't even know. I asked him something, and he was like, well, it's like a guitar. Like, you strum a guitar, that's how it feels. Like, what? And he's trying to play. So, point being, you know, it wasn't just that he got an injury or got hit a lot and then he was gunshot. He was also constantly getting hurt. I don't think there are that many examples. Like, if you get to the NFL level, I mean, Will Levis got absolutely torn apart last year. And he got hurt, had multiple injuries, and he played through it.
Yeah.
Like, I watched him play. He threw bad picks. They weren't very good. But I think that even tells you that he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine in terms of, like, being courageous enough to stand in. Then,
yeah,
you know, then we'll see if he's good enough. But it's just – it's become – and I get why – I totally get it. I guess maybe I've just had enough of it. I'm just kind of sick of it. Like, he's not – it's not – that's not going to be the thing. I mean, again, Jared – you know, we'll have Jared on later. Jared versus Joe. And, one of the questions was, are you worried about them ruining him? And, of course, Jared's like, yeah, yeah. And Caroline's like, I'm terrified of them ruining him. And I'm like – but what does that really mean? You know?
Right.
Like, he may not be good enough. He may get hurt. Look, if you're worried that he's going to tear an ACL, I get that.
Sure.
But I also think that he would respond the same way Joe Burrow. I'm not saying he's as good as Joe Burrow, but the same way he'd come back and play.
Yeah. I don't I don't know that I have concerns about that. By the way, apparently a sprained wrist for Joe Burrow. So I don't know what degree of sprained wrist he has, but apparently a sprained wrist on the throwing hand.
Well, that sounds good. I mean, that sounds a lot better than it could be. Oh, boy, it looked awful, him trying to throw that ball. And it's the anger. You could tell it's like, it's just pain.
Yeah.
But like you said, are they going to have enough time, you know,
and I guess that's
with him out?
That's the one good part of playing Thursday night, if you're them, is you get a little bit of extra time the next week. But, I mean, a sprained wrist on your throwing hand, I'm not a doctor, but it's better than it could be. But that still feels like that probably bother you for a couple weeks trying to throw the football.
Right. Like early in the season, he couldn't push off because he had the whatever the calf thing. And right. So you could see it in the velocity. And, you know, if Joe Burrow doesn't have velocity, he does things like scores nothing here in Tennessee. He scores
Correct.
3 points in a game. So if the wrist is not allowing that velocity, yeah, and boy, you know, I think maybe you're, what are you, 5-5?
Play the Steelers next
week. Yeah, take an L and then see if you can get them back to go to Jacksonville for a primetime game, by the way. Monday Night Football at Jacksonville. That should be the target. Then you're 5-6, and if you win that game, the rest of your schedule, yeah, you got a chance.
A small chance, but you got a chance.
Yeah, you got a chance. I mean, you'll be in the playoff picture. You get. Let's see. Okay, let's play it out here. 5-6, 6-6. You beat the Colts and Vikings at home, 8-6. Then you do have to go to the Steelers, and you have to go to the Chiefs. Yeah, it's
going to be tough.
It's not looking great.
It's not looking great for the Bengals. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. What do you make of the ruining the quarterback conversation that we've had with Will Levis? Do you buy into it at all? Because Joe Rexroad and I do not. We'll get into that more coming up next. 615-737-1025, our number. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 1025-1063, the game tonight for Vanderbilt men's basketball. The Commodores taking on Central Arkansas tonight at Memorial Gym. Tip-off at 6 o'clock with pregame beginning at 5:30. Coverage also available on the 1025 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Do you buy into the ruining the quarterback conversation surrounding the Titans and this offensive line right now? The offensive line has been atrocious. There's no reason to believe, based on what we've seen to this point, that it's going to get better as they move forward here. And what that has meant for Will Levis through his first three starts has been 25 hits that he's taken at the quarterback position, which is a lot. He's been hit a lot. Now, I do wonder, and you know, Willie and D-Mace and Caroline were talking about this yesterday too. Like, I'm sure that some of the hits that he's taken are probably on him trying to get the ball out. You need to get the ball out a little quicker at times. But there's no question the offensive line is terrible, and it's the main reason why he or Tannehill have been hit as much as they've been hit so far this year. So you and I have established I don't really buy into this ruining the quarterback long term, other than like if he suffers some devastating injury where he's not the same player anymore. I mean, that's a different conversation. But psychologically, like, I think Will Levis does have, and I think he should have, if he's your franchise quarterback, the right mindset to work through all these things and know eventually the Titans are going to address the offensive line, hopefully address it correctly as they move forward here. And we keep bringing up the Joe Burrow example. There are other examples that Charles talked about as well where guys work through these things, and if they're made of the right stuff, you eventually power through it and you're the franchise quarterback that you were drafted to be.
Yeah, or I mean, you may not be good enough. And that's the thing.
Well, there's that too.
Jared has got this excuse built in for Levis,
right,
if he doesn't work out. He's got the, just like he, you know, the Titans ruined Mariota. And he thinks the Colts ruined Andrew Luck. Like, Andrew Luck was a Hall of Fame level quarterback, and at some point the injuries had piled up enough, and he just didn't want to do it anymore.
Right.
Is that the Colts ruining him? I mean, yeah. Were the Colts, you know, negligent in trying to give him offensive linemen and weapons? They may not have been perfect at it. I don't remember Andrew Luck having like an atrocious offensive line.
No.
So, and maybe this is harsh, but to me, like, if you get ruined to the point where I mean, Charles brought up Sam Darnold. I mean, I guess that makes sense. Darnold actually said it on the sideline. I'm seeing ghosts. He actually said it. He was mic'd up.
Right.
Well, I just feel like – I'm sorry, but I feel like then you were going to get ruined. You know what I mean? Confidence is a different conversation, and I do
– And so is ability.
Well, yes, yeah. No doubt. Like, confidence, like, take it to hockey. Take it to what Barry Trotz talks about. And I get what he's saying. It's like – You bring up these young guys, put them on, you know, your top two lines. They get their butts kicked by veteran stars in this league. Like, that's counterproductive compared to have success in Milwaukee, stay there a little bit longer, come here and have a little bit lesser role, and eventually you hope you build up to that. I get that.
Right.
I mean, and it's not a perfect comparison, right? Those sports never are to the quarterback. The reality in the NFL is, like, if you're one of these quarterbacks now, here and there, you'll have a Mahomes year. But for the most part, you're thrown right into it. And, like, so Tua is thrown right into it. Tua has been absolutely battered, okay? In fact, if you want to go back to Tua with his previous head coach, and this is something that Charles Robinson was reporting on heavily at the time, the previous coach did not believe Tua had the toughness. I don't know if Tua is going to be an all-time great quarterback or whatever. I think he's very good. How could you tell me he's not tough?
I don't know.
I mean, that dude, I could make the case for him to stop playing football, and he's still out there standing in and making throws. So I think if you've got it, then that part of it's not going to be an issue for you. Got it as in the courage, basically, right? That's what it is. It's the toughness and courage to know that you're going to take a hit,
yeah,
but know that you have to stand in and step into throws and still – do your job.
Well, so
very hard. It's part of the reason it's the hardest job and the most valued job, the most high-paying job in sports.
Right. It's the willingness to stand in there and take a hit to make the play. Now, the hope is eventually that you don't have to stand in there and take the hit to make the play all that much, because your offensive line improves to the point where they can protect for you and you get better at making quick decisions and getting rid of the ball. Like, you know, I hate to go to Brady because Brady is an extreme example of this, but you know, Peyton Manning's another example. I mean, you can go through the list of really good quarterbacks. Did they have great ability? Yes, obviously. Did they have great offensive lines? In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. Like, there were times Brady didn't have a great offensive line, but he knew how to get rid of the football. Like, he knew where he was going with the ball. He had a mastery of the offense. And that you can help yourself that way, too,
yeah,
if you're a quarterback. And that's the hope that Levis or anybody else you draft eventually gets to a point where they have a mastery of your offense and they know where to go with the football, where their outlets are, all those things, and you can minimize some of that risk.
And Brady, by the way, I mean, he had, what, torn ACL pretty early, right? Year 08. Three, maybe? Oh, was it that late?
It was later, yeah.
Okay, a little bit later.
Yeah.
So,
Matt Cassel, shout out.
That's right. The all-time greatest backup quarterback in college football history. Never played a down behind Matt Leinart.
Yes.
And actually was arguably a better NFL quarterback than Matt Leinart. How about that?
Arguably was.
How about that?
At DJason Oliver on Twitter says, my fear with Levis is he's shown enough promise that this will take us 3 years to figure out if he's bad. I am optimistic he's good, though. It's from at DJason Oliver on Twitter.
Well, I mean, you know, in all seriousness, I mean – you know, like if Levis isn't a Pro Bowler next year, did he give up on him? No. I mean, that's the same thing with Mariota. But you have to – it is a little different, I guess, when you go – like, Mariota was the number two pick, so
– right.
But still, I mean, you moved up to 33 to get Levis, so he's going to get every opportunity. And I don't expect it to just be instant, absolute stardom. First of all, again, what's around him? You know, Mariota – you know, that's the thing. Mariota had his best year, and he had no receivers. You know, he really did.
No disrespect to Rishard Matthews.
Yeah, he did have a heck of a tight end, and he had the best running back in the league, and he had the biggest thing is he had an offensive line that immediately went from terrible to very good, which is hard to do. And that's the thing, too, is I've heard, well, the Titans did it in one offseason. Why can't they just do it? Well, you had a star left tackle who hadn't figured it out totally yet, who did. You draft a right tackle with the eighth pick. You bring in a center who's really good, and then you can live at guard, right? That's the thing about next year. I mean, if you are really good at like 3 of 5 offensive line spots, you know, it makes it a lot easier to be able to survive overall. I don't think that they're going to address every single spot. They have to effectively address left tackle and maybe one other spot, and then they probably will be a lot better.
It's funny because, like, in 16, which was Marcus's best year, his completion percentage actually wasn't very good. He had 61.2% completion percentage, but he was 7-9 in attempt because he had time to sit back there and throw it, right? I mean, it's when you've got time and you've got a running game like
running
they did
game,
that year.
Play action.
It helps so much. And right now the situation around Levis is, do they have a running game? I mean, yes. You got Derrick Henry, and he's the second leading rusher in the NFL. Now, the running game I would describe this year, Joe, has been very inconsistent. Very inconsistent. I mean, they ran what they run for as a team on Sunday, like 40 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been incredibly inconsistent to this point. So I'm not saying the Titans don't have a running game, but it has not been a reliable running game, in my opinion, to this point this year.
It fits and starts.
And we know what the offensive line is. So, I mean, I think Levis obviously has way more ability than Marcus Mariota did, but the situation does matter. And right now the situation for Levis is not great. Now, Marcus didn't have DeAndre Hopkins out there, so I guess there's an advantage for Levis. But the running game, very inconsistent to this point, and the offensive line is just getting him battered out there. And that's the concern for me heading into this weekend is, you know, beyond the win-loss part of it, and we'll get into that coming up here in just a few minutes for the Jacksonville game. Can he hold up? Can you get him through another game? Can the offensive line perform well enough that you get Levis through another game and not only get him through the game, but have a chance to make plays? Like, he didn't have much of a chance last week to make plays. And that's disappointing because you want to see if you can start to get a true evaluation of Levis, the progress that he's making, all those things. And last week, I mean, he was just screwed from the word go for the most part, other than the first drive,
right,
where they had a lot of scripted things that worked out really well.
Yeah, first drive looked good. Yeah, and that's the thing. Numbers aren't good. What, 19 for 39, 199?
Yeah.
Mute. But I thought he played. I did. I thought he played well. I thought, like, play after play, you watch each play, and of those 39 pass attempts, and I don't remember how many times he got sacked, but there's more pass attempts where he got sacked. He got sacked 4 times, hit 13 times.
Correct.
I mean, when he had a chance, I think he made good decisions. Now, he did miss some passes, sailed a few, so, you know, and that is part of this. I mean, that, if you want to talk about pressure affecting a quarterback, there's the seeing ghosts and, like, you know, the extreme part of it, but there's also a little bit of just inaccuracy that can come of that, you know. So maybe we saw a little bit of that, but they got to figure out a way to, you know, Vrabel talked about moving the pocket. You can't do it a ton, you can't do all that, but you got to do it some. You got to do some different things. You got to get the ball out fast, all those things. And look, maybe Dylan Raiden's a week of practice will be better at left tackle. Jalen Duncan is the next guy. And he's a talented rookie. Maybe after all these weeks, he's a little bit more prepared too. I don't know. I'm trying to find positives.
Motion Spears out there and, like, attach him to the hip of whoever's playing left tackle, and like
they could
just, like, fall down and get in the way. Just fall down, see if you can trip somebody. Get just in the way.
Motion him. They put a slot receiver and tight end over there. Just have like 4 people to the left of the left tackle. Why not?
Worth a shot.
Yeah, but you can do it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll look ahead to the matchup coming up this weekend for the Titans against Jacksonville. What would a win mean for this Titans team? What would a win mean for this Titans fan base if they're able to go down there on Sunday and get it done in Jacksonville? We'll get into that coming up next. Make your silly underdog picks today for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 12 of college football, week 11 of the NFL. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We'll have Call Your Shot Friday coming up at 645. We'll go ahead and take your call shots, your bold predictions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jared Stillman joining the program at 7 o'clock. Joe, you'll be happy to know I I sent out a tweet last night letting Jared know what time to come on today.
Oh.
Even though we've been doing it for over a year at this point.
That was his excuse. You didn't send the tweet out the night before.
That was the excuse last week. So
cool.
I sent the tweet. I've done everything I think I can do to ensure that he'll be here at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Let's hope so. I know he may be tired after, you know, sicking his callers on TD yesterday.
Well, maybe so.
Jared. I blame Jared.
That was a spicy TD power hour.
Yes, it was. So I missed the live, but I was driving in the aftermath, and you know, those people were calling about it, and then Jared played it again. I was like, damn. Like Trey and Antioch just said, TD stood on his business.
Yeah, he did. Much more effectively than Eli Drinkwitz, I might add. Yes.
I stand on my business, guys.
I stand on my run away. Just like the roadrunner getting out of there. Like, all right, we'll see you. I love Typel's response. He says, yeah, I didn't hear him at the time.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Great, though. Sounds great.
Sounds awesome.
Stand on business, guys.
Just beautiful stuff. By the way, we'll have TD coming up at 8 o'clock today. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Jags. Joe, if the Titans go down there on the road this weekend, they beat a division rival in Jacksonville, in Duval, with a milky pool flowing in that stadium and everything that goes with it. What does that do for this team? What does that do for this fan base? You win, Jacksonville drops to 6-4, you're at 4-6. So I'm not going to sit here and act like I feel great about the Titans being some playoff team if they win this game. But, I mean, it would bring you closer. It's a divisional win. You've got Jacksonville another time to end the season after this. You have Houston coming up twice. So there is opportunity for you. You have Indy another time. You've got opportunity within the division if you win this game. But from a fan base standpoint, I would assume if you go on the road and win, it probably means your quarterback plays well as well. So if they're able to get this done on Sunday, what do you think this does for this team?
Well, it changes things pretty significantly, especially just because of who it is. But, yeah, look, you get this. You're 4-6. Like you said, I mean, you can look at what's ahead and see yourself carving, you know, hanging in there, getting back in there, and knowing that you've got them coming to your place again, knowing, like you said, you have two games against the Texans and the Colts at home. So in the division, you still have a lot of opportunity. And with the rest of the schedule, you have a lot of opportunity. So, I mean, it's to me, and I know it's like every – I mean, I said about Tampa, like, man, you got to win this game or it's starting to look rough. Well, it does look rough, 3-6. 3-7, I don't think there could be possibly another mention of the postseason if they lose this game, right? I mean, we're barely talking about it now, but – technically win this game and we would resume talking about it. Win this game and next week there will be some looking at the standings and saying, okay, look at their schedule, look at the other teams out there. I mean I understand they're right now next to last in the AFC, but at 4-6 you look at teams like, well, the Bills are 5-5. You know, the Bengals, who you beat, are 5-5, and their quarterback's out for an undetermined period of time.
Yep.
Raiders, Chargers are 4-5. I mean, everybody's talking about the Broncos. Oh, here come the Broncos. I mean, they're 4-5. The Chargers are 4-5. You beat the Chargers. Now, those are still teams on the bottom end of trying to get to the seventh spot. You know, the tougher thing is that you lost to the Steelers, you lost to the Browns. They're both 6-3, right? But, yeah, 4-6. We would talk about it. We would look at the standings and say, yeah, okay, here's this. Here's our schedule. Here's who this team plays, that team plays for an undetermined period of time. And it could last a while because you got the Panthers and Colts at home, and boom, you're 6-6. And so as of the first weekend of December, you could be right in there. You lose the game. I don't think we'll ever talk about it again the rest of the year, right?
I'm looking at playoff odds right now. The Titans, according to playoffstatus.com, which calculates postseason probabilities, the Titans have a 5% chance to make the playoffs, which is obviously tied to their record.
That sounds about right.
Second worst odds in the AFC. Patriots right now are at less than 1%. They have the second worst odds in the whole league behind the Panthers, who are at infinitesimal percent to make the playoffs.
Great word.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Now, if the Titans win at Jacksonville, I'd say it probably should go up to about 15 to 18%, something like that, right?
Somewhere like that, yeah.
Which is worth talking about. I mean, it's worth talking about until it isn't, right? So then you could get to 6-6, and you're going, you know, you're going Monday Night Football to play the Dolphins. Okay, well, I don't like their chances in that one at all. But then you come home for the Texans. Then you stay home for the Seahawks. So you could be 8-7 entering the last two, which are at Houston, Jacksonville here. That's all very plausible, absolutely plausible if you win this week.
On the flip side, what if they go down there and they just get crushed? Which, I'll be honest with you, we'll get to Pigskin pick them later. That's the way I'm leaning right now. I think they're going to get absolutely destroyed on Sunday. What if they go down there and Jacksonville just runs away with it and it's a blowout and the Titans get just run off the field on Sunday? How are you feeling if you're the team? You talked about the playoff chances. Like, they're not worth talking about if that's the case. The fan base, what's our show like Monday morning if they waltz down there to Jacksonville and they just get punked by the Jaguars?
Well, I think that there's been enough bad stuff. Like, there'll be some people upset. But I think for the most part, then, sadly for this show,
start talking about draft.
People just want to talk about the draft. That's what it is. I mean, I think, is it Ron? Is it Ron who every week is like, tank, tank, tank?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a lot more like, great, you know what? Play young people. Put in Malik Willis, you know, whatever.
We'll start having these.
A backup punter. Keep Stonehouse safe.
Yeah. Like, should the Titans draft, if they have the chance to draft Marvin Harrison Jr., should they do that or a left tackle?
Right.
We'll start getting into that. Be good.
I've heard, I've heard that discussion, and I think we've had some of that discussion.
We have.
Keep Bo Brinkley safe, even though he's not on the team anymore.
Still protect him.
Yeah, protect him. You know, just play all, you know, get practice squad, call him up, tank, whatever you want to call it. That's what it'll be. Yeah. Now, you said if they get blown out, I mean, what if they just lose a good game? It's the same thing, the same situation. 3-7, it's over. Like, we don't need to talk about the playoffs.
It's
anymore.
Over, but I do think, like, if they go down there and they lose a good game, and especially if Levis is able to do some things, I do think you feel a little bit differently about that than if it's the same thing we saw last Sunday where the offense does nothing and you just get absolutely destroyed. And I do think it's, from a fan perspective, you would feel a little bit differently about it if Levis was able to actually do some things in this game.
Well, I agree. Well, I mean, look, beyond the playoff race or anything else, I mean, that's the most important thing every week, right? One, that he's safe, but also that he plays well.
Right.
That you see progress and some level of consistency and increasing the hope, not just the hope of the fan base, but I do think, like, it's one thing you think about. I mean, free agency is recruiting, you know? I mean, it really is.
Yep.
And so Levis showing good stuff this year could help you when you get to that stage.
For sure. I mean, it's – if you've got a quarterback that players around the league look at and they say, wow, okay, Titans might have something there. I mean, we've seen it. That can heavily influence how people make decisions. And beyond that, like – If your team, like, I do wonder, like, if the Titans, if they fall to 3-7 and they just get blasted again on Sunday and Levis doesn't have an opportunity to do anything because he's flat on his back all game long, like, the effort conversation, I think, has been a little bit overblown this week. But there is, I think, a natural thing in the NFL where at some point you just get tired of having your head caved in every week and you're like, geez, just get me through the end of the season. And I don't think they're there yet. There's still a lot of football left to be played. But at some point, like, if it doesn't get better with the Titans, I think some of that's going to start to creep into their game, which is not a good place to be.
Sure. Yeah, again, it's like you lose your edge, right? You don't have that extra whatever it is, preparation, energy. Also, you know, maybe in the midst of a hot division race, it's like, I can play through this, and when it's not, it's like, ooh, this elbow's really hurting me, man.
Yeah,
I don't know if I can go. You know, stuff like that happens, of course. Yeah, it is. It's just an absolute slog to the end. I mean, it happens every year with teams in this league. for this franchise, it has not happened since 2015. We're on the verge.
Yeah. I got a text that says, after Joe Burrow's rookie year, they had the option to improve the line or draft Ja'Marr Chase. They went with Chase, made the AFC title game the next year. If Levis is the franchise quarterback and Harrison Jr. is available when you pick, you have to take him. We're already back into the Harrison offensive lineman.
There we go. I thought we were not going to do this till next week. Yeah, no, we've talked about that. I mean, I absolutely. There were definitely people who were like, you can't do that to the kid. But
it was Penei Sewell, right? Wasn't that the choice, Penei Sewell and Ja'Marr Chase?
Yeah. And I don't disagree with you. If you have a talent that special, and Marvin Harrison Jr. may well be that talent. So, but it has to be that. I don't agree with the idea that, without looking at the specifics, yo, take the receiver for sure over the old. Look, I'll tell you what. Detroit Lions, give him their respect. I give him their respect. He's a huge part of their why they're good. He and that offensive line, that's what drives the whole thing.
I feel like you're coming around a little bit.
Well, I mean, they're good. They're good. I mean, their offense is good. They are still the Lions, and trust me, when they blow it, I will laugh. But, no, the credit to they hired a good GM for sure, and they have a likable, pretty good coach. And they have a great OC who's going to be a head coach somewhere next year.
I agree. He's coming around,
baby. A mighty team that will not.
They call them good. That may be the first time I've ever heard Joe.
I mean, they are good. They are good.
I know that. I've never
heard
you say
that. I see it, man.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. We'll take your called shots, your bold predictions for this weekend in sports. Preds in action tomorrow against Chicago. Connor Bedard coming to town. Tennessee and Georgia coming up at Neyland Stadium. And then the Titans taking on Jacksonville down there in Florida. We'll take your thoughts on all of it. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. Time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your called shots, your bold predictions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Probably not well, but let's see. Dylan Sampson, I'll just go through mine. Dylan Sampson, more than 120 total yards from scrimmage and two touchdowns. His Balls had one touchdown. He didn't do much.
He did not.
None of them did much, which is credit to Missouri.
Yeah.
Because they've been doing much against everybody.
We want to make sure we credit Missouri because people are yelling at us all week about how much of Vols homers we are.
Here's a great shot. Cody Schrader will have less than 100 yards rushing. Oh, good shot by me.
First drive?
Yeah. 321 yards from scrimmage. San Diego Vescovi will hit six threes in a win at Wisconsin. He was fine, but it was all about Dalton Kanecht. And finally, Will Levis will throw two touchdown passes to Chig on Sunday, and that, of course, did not happen. Now, look at you, though. Deontay Thornton, TD of 40 yards or more versus Missouri. Bing, ding, ding.
Nailed
ding.
It.
Well done. He also had Derrick Henry with a 65-yard-plus TD run for the Titans. That did not happen. And Will Levis throwing for more than 300 yards. That did not happen. And Yakov Trenta with a Gordie Howe hat trick against the Coyotes. Also did not happen.
I don't even think he played in that game. He didn't. It's a tough one.
Yeah. Close. Nick, you had Levis with 250 and two against Tampa Bay. Any sort of statistical, what is the word I'm searching for?
I don't know.
Milestone that we were picking for these people are just, way, way short. Trevor Lawrence will have his second 300-yard game and three touchdowns with a pick against the Niners. That also didn't happen. You had Jay Woodcroft fired Sunday. What day was he fired?
I think it was Sunday.
Well done. Yeah. There we go. All right. Good job. Good job, Nick.
Way to go, Nick.
So there you go.
Nick Kieser, kick us off with today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday.
So we just talked about someone not getting two touchdowns thrown to him, but I think he gets at least, so Chig getting at least seven targets, I think on Sunday is fair enough for him.
Okay.
And he scores his first touchdown of the season.
That's
does not matter
shot.
When.
Does but he catch the ball?
I would hope
seven
so.
Seven targets? How many catches?
Is it a fumble recovery?
I'm saying he gets seven targets and a touchdown.
That's a called shot. I like it.
Okay.
I'm going to also say the Preds hold off Bedard to at least 1 point on Saturday.
So 1 point or less.
Yes. Okay. And Yusso Parsonen scores for the first time in 13 games.
Okay. He played really, really well the other night.
Yeah, he's been held without a point the last eight, but no goals in the last 13 games.
Wait, what did you say? 1 point?
One point or less for Bedard, right. And Parsonen scores.
Okay. Yep. Okay, so I guess, is that one shot? I guess that's one shot.
Sure. Combo shot.
Combo shot. All
I
right.
like it. Is that it, Nick?
Yep.
Short and sweet. I like it.
All right, well, you know what? I'll make that two separate shots.
There we go.
Okay.
Joe Rexroad, your called shots for this week.
Connor Bedard will have a hat trick. So we're both going with the extremes. I'm going to call the shot that Connor Bedard is going to usher in just a lot of groans when you think of what's ahead in the years to come.
Yes,
and I'm sorry. The Tennessee Volunteers basketball team will win the Maui Invitational. Obviously, I'm calling a shot because like we won't be calling shots by the time this ends.
Sure.
Again. That means beating Syracuse, beating Purdue, and beating Kansas in the final with Hunter Dickinson held below 10 points. However, on every basket, he will make a little gesture that refers to a part of his anatomy because he can't help himself. I mean, it was kind of funny. Did you see what he did when he scored at halftime against Kentucky? He did like the wrestler suck it thing? Yeah. Joe Milton will throw for more than 250 yards tomorrow.
Wow. Okay.
Now, I know that's all I'm saying. Joe Milton will throw for more than 250 yards.
Is that when they're down
41-10? Well, I mean, I still think that statistical milestone is significant. But, yeah, it may be game situational related potentially.
We'll see.
Yeah. And finally, for the Tennessee Titans, Derrick Henry will rush for more than 100 yards Sunday, which I think at this point, given this offense and that defense and everything else, is a called shot. He's going to get it done. He's going to rip off a big one in there somewhere, like a 40-plus run, and he's going to end up with 100 yards.
I like it.
There you go.
My called shots. The Chicago Blackhawks will score two goals tomorrow, one of which will come from Connor Bedard, the other from Corey Perry. So one old nemesis ushering in a new nemesis for the Predators and their fan base tomorrow. However, the Predators will win 3-2. A 3-2 win for the Predators tomorrow against Chicago, with the goal scorers for the Blackhawks being Connor Bedard and Corey Perry. I'm all about symbolism here.
I was going to say, before the Preds winning 3-2, like you and I are just calling fantasy shots if you hate the Preds, you know?
Like, I've got them winning.
Just misery for the Preds.
So you're not going to give Brent Peterson his Frosty?
Not giving Peterson his Frosty tomorrow. Dang. It's just going to be 3-2. We'll have to wait for the Frosty. Tennessee on Saturday, Jalen Wright will bust a big one, 45-plus yard touchdown for Jalen Wright against the Georgia defense, which would be
– That's a shot.
That would be a shot. That would also be – an accomplishment. On Sunday for the Titans, there will be a pick six touchdown for the Titans. They will intercept the football, and they will score a touchdown on that play. They don't intercept the football very often. They certainly don't score touchdowns on defense very often.
Who's going to get it? Vildemort?
Vildemort. I will go Amani Hooker.
Oh,
pick six.
You didn't have to specify, but that's probably a good choice.
Amani Hooker, pick six for the Titans. And finally, Nick Folk, two field goals of 52 yards or longer.
Oh, 52.
52 or longer. Two of them on Sunday for the Titans against the Jags.
Fourth and inches, Vrabel kicking both times.
Fourth and a singular inch. we can't do that. Let's kick the field goal.
Get out there, folks.
52 or yarder. Or 52 or yarder. 52 or longer.
Continuing to blow up the preseason detective work of our next guest.
Yeah, Jared, he sucks. He can't kick a 50-yarder.
I mean, he did miss one last week, but I went back and watched it again. Something was off there. It wasn't just like he didn't have the leg power.
It was a total mishit or operation. Yeah. Something. Yeah, exactly. So, really, he's perfect still.
Yeah. Nate on the text line says, called shot, the Titans beat the Jags by 10 this Sunday and lose to the Panthers by 14 after Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
So, beating Jacksonville and then getting destroyed by Bryce Young. That'd be something.
God, I talk my Bryce Young trash the next day, tell you what.
Trey from Antioch says, called shot is the Avalanche beat the Preds 5-0 on Monday, and Ryan Johansson scores twice. There is the Ryan Johansson homecoming coming up on Monday.
Yeah, wow.
Which we'll talk about on Monday. But I do not love the Avalanche-Predators matchup right now for the Preds.
No.
The way that
doesn't seem like it might go well.
Travis says the Bedard hat trick is the most Preds thing that could ever happen. Is it the most Preds thing that could ever happen? I don't know.
Depends on what you think a Preds thing is.
Brendan says the Detroit Lions throw a shutout against Chicago this weekend and went 28-0.
Justin Fields is coming back. Yeah, that is a shot because the Lions' defense is not very good, guys.
I knew. We had to circle back around. He was too nice to him last segment.
No, their offense is great. Defense is Justin Fields, get ready, Ryan from Chicago, if you're listening.
What are they playing him for?
Get excited. I don't know.
Bajent throwing around out there.
Yeah, and Fields isn't even 100%, but I don't know, man. I don't know what they're doing in that organization in general.
That's a good life motto for that organization. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. We'll look ahead to the Titans and the Jags with him. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.